Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. Someone else who has a pretty darn high intelligence level is our good friend Leslie Kossoff. Leslie is one of the long-term members of our Brain Trust and the author of Executive Thinking, which is one of my favorite books, and also Managing for Quality. She is our quality expert in the Brain Trust, and she's talking to us all the way from the British Isles, all the way from, I think, somewhere north of the great city of London. Leslie, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be here. It's always a pleasure.
Well, you're somewhere north of London, is that right?
Actually, I'm southeast.
Oh, southeast. Okay.
Yeah, so, not far from the coast down near Brighton.
Ah, yeah. How is it down there?
It's lovely. We're getting into actual winter weather, so it's exciting.
How are you enjoying being in England? Now, folks, many of you will remember, Leslie lived in California almost all her life.
Yes.
And primarily in latter years in the northern part of California around San Francisco. And about, 2 years ago you decided to move to England?
Yep.
And so how are you enjoying it?
I love it. It's a wonderful country, and it's fascinating to me because on the surface it seems like it should be so very much alike with the United States, but in fact the differences are legion and they're deep-seated, and so it's a fascinating environment. And I must tell you, one of the biggest differences is the orientation towards business and small business in particular.
Yeah, and what is that?
It's, you know, in the United States, we've gotten used to the idea of entrepreneurialism and that you can achieve and that aspiration
is genetic. It's genetic for us.
It is. You know, it's being over here has taught me more about how real the American dream is than anything else, because we simply operate to it in the States. Over here, they're trying to get people to become aspirational, which to me is, you know, where were you decades ago?
It's like, duh.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But there's such a fear of failure in this country that there's a tendency not to be willing to take risks, and that's why they don't have the kind of business growth and particularly small business engine.
Well, there are other constructs over there that are not convenient
conducive.
And conducive for
yes.
Small business. The capital markets are not as incrementalized and as fast and competitive over there, are they?
No, they're not. And they don't have anything like the Small Business Administration that we're so used to that you know, there's been so much small business legislation over the years, over the decades, that have made it possible for small businesses to thrive, and that's not in place here.
Well, and you know, me being who I am and what I do, I'm a hypersensitive analyst of what is available in America for small businesses, and I'm always critical of the things that haven't been done yet and the things that need to be done to make this even better. And the truth is, even though I'm never going to stop being that way because it's fun to criticize the government and to keep sticking the needle in them and the regulators, still, I guess maybe at least once a year I should step back and say, okay, guys, maybe it's not so bad after all.
I think it's appropriate that we do that on the Thanksgiving weekend.
Just one day, though. I'm only going to give them one day. I'm going to take the needle out one day.
Yes, and do it while they're on vacation.
So exactly,
you know,
so they won't even know I did
today.
It.
There you go.
But seriously, we're having some fun here, but I do agree with you. You know, the things that bind the United States and the English and the Scottish and the Irish and the Welsh, the thing that bind us together runs so deep. It is truly genetic. But the things that separate us are a lot of times the political issues and the geopolitical issues. And I would, you know, that's one of the things, and I know that a lot of people in England may or may not be, some people may not be happy with Tony Blair, but I really like the way Tony Blair has been able to find the more commonality than more things to be opposing about with regard to United States relations.
Well, yes, it's he and, in fact, most of the people in his government are and have been such great fans of the United States for so many years that years before they were in power, they were trying to figure out how to replicate.
Right. Leslie, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, Leslie's going to talk to us about quality as a differentiator in your small business. And we'll do that right after these messages. 20 till, I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me and we'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, having more fun than the law allows with our good friend Leslie Kossoff. She's in England, ladies and gentlemen, southeast of the great city of London. And she's our favorite expatriate. And we have more than one expatriate. Leslie, we just talked to John Nesbitt the other day.
Oh, excellent.
And he's in Vienna. He lives in Vienna on a regular basis,
mm-hmm.
and I always wondered why he moved to Europe, and then I found out it was love.
Yeah,
he married a woman from Vienna. Well, you know what? If I married a woman from Vienna, I might move to Vienna too.
Well, yes, you would expect to.
Love has a powerful gravity, doesn't it?
It does.
Hey, Leslie, give us your website, please.
It is www.kossoff.com, and that's spelled K-O. Double S like Sam, O double F like Frank.
All right, so check it out, folks. They can find your books there, can't they?
Yeah, they can find the books. And by the way, in the beginning of the new year, a new edition of Managing for Quality is coming out.
All right, I can't wait to get my autographed copy.
And you'll get a pre-release copy. Thank you very much.
I'm looking forward to it. Let me know if I can help with that. Leslie, how do we use quality as a differentiator in a small business?
Well, you know, first of all, I have to say that there is a window open now that hasn't been open for decades, particularly for small businesses, because what quality does when you've got big companies that are having trouble, if you're a small or medium-sized business and you've got that ability to be nimble and to really respond beautifully to what it is that your customer needs, when the big guys are in trouble, they're looking for those answers, and they know that their machine is too big to be able to shift quickly, and they start looking outside. And so when small business owners particularly look at quality and the quality of product and the quality of service as a strategic differentiator and focus on it, it ends up opening up not only increased sales into existing markets, mm-hmm. it opens new markets.
Well, absolutely. And see, I want to remind people of something that you've taught us over the years that's very important. And ladies and gentlemen, this is something small business owners, this is a definition that small business owners need to understand. Quality, the quality process that Leslie talks about, that she's an expert in, is not quality service. That's not what it is. So you think you've got quality service. You promote quality service. You advertise quality service. You use the word quality all the time. But what you really mean is when something breaks, when we mess up, we fix it immediately. We'll do whatever it takes to fix this and make sure that you're happy with your doing business with us, and we'll take care of that. Well, the quality process starts way before the service. The quality process is what you do to help things not break.
Absolutely.
And see, that's the nuance the small business owners need to get into their head.
It, you know, frankly, that's the nuance that every business owner needs to get into his or her head, because there still is that tendency to think about it as fixing after the fact. And
right.
you've put your finger on it. It not only is an unbelievable cost savings to be able to solve the problems before they become problems, because there's been so much research over decades that has shown that the farther down the process line that a problem continues to exist, the more expensive, literally to the point of exponentially, it is to fix after the fact. And so the focus for small business owners, and this is why small business perfect, because you're small, because you can see what's going on, you can get in there, get clear really quickly, and it's not expensive. You don't have to spend a lot of money to do this, and it doesn't take that much time. It's just a matter of putting your focus on it, and as you look at those processes and you figure out where the problems are coming from and then back them up into the processes to find out where they originate, solve them, and man, do you have opportunities that come from that.
In the previous interview, we talked to Dr. Surinder Kumar, who talked about a power, one of the personal powers that he talks about in his book, is the power of intentionality.
Yes.
And that's what you were just talking about.
Absolutely.
Being intentional, you know, being proactive. Don't wait until something breaks.
No.
Do something to stop it from breaking in the beginning.
And as a small business owner, you have so much to gain from getting it solved in the beginning, because it's going to be your headache if it's later.
That's right.
It's not going to be anyone else's headache. It's going to be yours. And so if you can get that solved, you're down a headache.
I love the little sign that I saw one time that says, if it's too expensive to fix it now, to fix it before it breaks, how much is, you know, can you afford to fix it after it breaks, or something like that? I've forgotten.
Yeah.
Because and it's so true. I've actually seen small businesses that had such that they their customers never knew so much about the problems, because they did have good quality service, but fixing things that broke so customers didn't know that they were broken was killing the company.
Absolutely.
Everybody, the employees didn't like coming to work. It was costing too much money, and they couldn't grow. They couldn't focus on moving forward for focusing on fixing what was breaking.
Absolutely. And, you know, as any business owner, but again, particularly as a small business owner, your whole focus needs to be looking forward. And if you think about it, what we're talking about, these kinds of problems that are so embedded, force you to constantly be looking backward. And that's ridiculous. You can't drive a company forward that way.
That's right. And everybody winds up being in the trenches, including the people who should be looking way down the road. When we come back, we're going to get Leslie to put a couple of fine points on these things that you can do to improve the quality process in your company so you don't have to do quality service. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Leslie Kossoff. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and if you go to the archives and look under Leslie's name, if you look at under Leslie's name, the Brain Trust, and click on her archives, you can get a whole, you'll find a whole body of work that Leslie has deposited with us over the years on quality and other topics like executive thinking, like being a better executive in our small businesses. And I encourage you to check it out. And also her own website, Kossoff.com. That's two S's and two F's, where you can find her books and her writings. And is that newsletter still coming out, Leslie?
It certainly is, and it's still free. And all
you
have to do is go to the website and click on and subscribe.
Thank you for making that available, folks. I encourage you to do that. It's a very good one. Leslie, we've been talking about the need to improve our quality processes. What would a quality process be? What would a process be in a small business, and how do we make sure that it's a quality process?
You know, the easiest way to start this is to take a look at, especially again as the small business owner, sit down with yourself, spend a few minutes trying to figure out what makes you crazy the most. What's that thing that keeps happening most frequently that that just makes you nuts.
The most frustrating thing in your life.
Yeah, it really is. It's, you know, it doesn't even have to be the thing that keeps you up at night, but it's the one that every time it happens, you're so sick to death of it happening again.
Yeah.
Because that means you've got a problem in your processes somewhere. That means that you've got something that's repeating itself, which is always the primary indicator that you've got a quality problem.
And so it could be sales, it could be credit collection, collections, it could be accounts receivable, it could be inventory, it could be vendor relationships, it could be cash flow, whatever, right?
Absolutely, there are no barriers to what this could be. It will be anywhere in your organization because it simply exists and it keeps recurring. Once you know what that thing is that makes you crazy, you get the people together who are involved in it, you sit them down, and you say, okay, not in an angry way, this keeps happening, why? And get them talking, because whoever it is in that part of the organization that's dealing with it is just as frustrated as you with the fact that this keeps happening. And invariably, they will have answers to how it can be solved. Mm-hmm. And more often than not, sitting in a meeting that takes maybe an hour or two, maybe not even that long, you can say, oh, well, for goodness sake, if that's all it is, and you solve it.
Well, and there's a good chance, there's an excellent chance, folks, that they're as frustrated about it as you are.
They're probably more frustrated than you are, frankly, because they're living it every single day. You only see it when it pops into your office.
Well, and also, I don't know how many times, Leslie, I've seen this happen, and the only barrier to fixing this problem, for, the thing that actually gave rise to it in the beginning, was literally a misunderstanding between management and staff.
Absolutely. Someone made a decision with really good intentions, and it was the wrong decision. Or it was right for its time, but the time has passed.
Or I've seen it where the situation was actually communicated improperly. In other words,
yes.
The person said, paint that white, and the other person misinterpreted it and painted way too much white. I mean, or not enough white. I mean, it was literally that there wasn't enough good communication.
Absolutely. And more often than not, with the problems that occur, that is the basis of it, that there's not enough understanding behind what's driving that decision. Decisions, and going forward as an executive, what you need to do is say what you're looking for and why, so that they can figure out how.
How about one more thing, Leslie? You said ask yourself what's the most frustrating to you as the owner. How about if you have a meeting with your folks and ask them what's the most frustrating thing for them?
Absolutely. But the main thing about this is either start with that or start with yourself, but don't start both at the same time.
Ah.
The reason why I tend to say start with the thing that drives you nuts is because once not only you see the win in putting this process into place, but your employees see it as well,
there's
a real momentum to move forward. If you start by asking everyone else what the thing is for them, and there's no foundation where they've already seen that this thing is happening and we're seeing improvement, there may be too many problems that are brought up, and then it's so difficult to sift through and decide and avoid hurt feelings because someone's problem got ignored this time around.
Leslie, we got to wrap it up. Thanks for being here all the way from England. Will you say hello to the Queen when you see her this weekend?
You know, I'll be happy to, and she's always so happy to hear from you, Jim.
I know she is. Well, tell her I said hello, and the Queen Mum, too. Thanks, Leslie.
She's dead, but still.
Leslie Kossoff, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to say this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.